Well, if you take your Bible and open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 this morning, we're only going to talk about one verse this morning, but we're going to talk about it in a couple of different ways. As it is Thanksgiving week, of course, as everybody is well aware, and we're making preparations for that, I just want to talk for a few minutes this morning on what it means to live a life of Thanksgiving. And how we can take this annual holiday that we all love very much and really seek to turn it into a constant attitude, a constant mindset. Or how could we live a life of gratitude and a life of praise? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul gives us this command that is extremely difficult. He says, "In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Certainly the text would include verse 16 and 17, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And as we focus on verse 18, "In everything give thanks." The difficulty with this particular passage, I believe, is making this honest. Just being honest with it. When we read a command like this, this isn't a suggestion, by the way. This is a command. Just like one of the Ten Commandments, this is one of the commandments of the New Testament. In everything, give thanks. A command from God. It would certainly be an insult to God to utter words of thanksgiving if our heart was ungrateful. But how do we thank God for pain? We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Talk about it next Sunday as well. The will of God in light of evil and suffering. How do we put those two things together? How do we give God thanks for pain? How do we say thank you to God for loss, for suffering, for the things, the good of which we cannot see and we cannot discover? So what I'd like to talk about very briefly today is being grateful. Counting our blessings, naming them one by one, and everything that we say and everything we think and say and do. I have an outline for you. And the first thing I want to talk about is how to think thankfully. If we're to give thanks to God in all things and everything, give thanks. It starts in our mind. Gratitude, it begins with taking every thought captive. Grows out of an attitude of appreciation and humility, a proper perspective. Gratitude starts in the thought life, to be sure. What are we thinking about? Do we know what we're thinking about? Have we thought about what we're thinking about? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What am I thinking about? And why am I thinking about that? What is it that I'm really dwelling upon? Thankfulness needs to be infused with every aspect of our thought life. I read this passage this morning earlier. "Let the peace of Christ," or "the peace of God, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." We got a couple of things in there. The connection of gratitude to peace. Let the peace of Christ, or the peace of God, rule in your hearts. What does it mean to rule? I'm asking. Have control? Who does ruling? When we think about what kind of person rules? A king. King, or from England, a queen. You have a sovereign ruling, directing you what to do. This passage tells us, because Christ is in us, that the peace of Christ should rule your heart. Why? Because we were called into the body of Christ to peace. Oh, and be thankful. There's a connection there between gratitude and peace. When we are thinking thankfully, we have more peace going on in our heart because we are recognizing what God has done for us, what other people have done for us. We are rolling in our mind good things, peaceful things. And when we are thankful, those peaceful things begin to work their way out. It's very hard to have a mind thinking thankfully when our heart is full of trouble and turmoil. That's why that song, Count Your Blessings, is such a good song. We don't count our blessings very often, when we really should. What we usually do is we count all the bad things going on. How are you doing? Well, we usually say fine, but we get right down to it. We start listing off all the trouble we've got and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the difficulties, and we forget about the good things. Thankfulness should be a regular part of our life, because thankfulness is, I believe, the perfect antidote to pridefulness and selfishness. And those are the two problems that we have as Americans, I think. Pridefulness and selfishness. We're self-centered. We're self-directed. We want everything we want, and we're very prideful. We're a prideful people, probably because we have so many things. But the opposite of thankfulness, when we start dwelling on the negative, are enemies of peace. Enemies of peace. Well, what kinds of things? Things like complaining. Have a complaining spirit. An argumentative spirit, selfishness, a sense of entitlement. Those things are not thankful attitudes or dispositions. Our sin nature wants to try to convince us that we deserve more, that we are in the right, that we've been taken advantage of, or that we have it really, really bad. Those are counting the trials and counting the tribulations. Those things wreck peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You're called to peace. Be thankful. The peace of God in your heart, a thankful attitude, thinking in a thankful way to others and to God, will bring about that peace in our heart, and will really strive against these things: complaining, arguing, selfishness, and a sense of entitlement. There are three ways we can do it to think thankfully. One is prayer. Of course, we have a great passage in Philippians 4:6: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And there it is again, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. There is an equation there of prayer to peace. When we pray, the peace of God that we saw in the Colossians passage that should be ruling in our hearts is given leeway to rule. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I sure wish we could understand the peace of God. Wouldn't it be great if there was a verse in the Bible that says, let's describe the peace of God. The peace of God looks like this. Because if we really could understand it better, I think we would strive for it more and with greater vigor and energy, wanting the peace of God. When we pray with thanksgiving, and we talk to God about it. We thank Him for it, for the good things, for the bad things. And when we do that, and we're saying, thank you, God, for all of these situations, the circumstance, for everything You've done in my life, and for all of these trials and tribulations that I cannot bear, I give them over to You. You bear them, because You Yourself said, cast all of Your cares upon Me, for I care for You. I'm going to obey You in that, and I'm going to throw all of my trials and tribulations on You, because You said so. Well, what does that do? That lightens our load, that liberates our heart, and allows the peace of God, the peace of Christ, to rule in our heart and not be so burdened with so many difficulties in our life. So prayer. We're going to think thankfully. We need to pray. We also need to worship thankfully. We need to worship thankfully. It is putting on a mindset of thankfulness. That is what worship is really all about. It is coming into God's presence to say, thank You. Thank You for all that You've done. And I'm going to give back to You the blessing and power and glory and might that is due Your name. You're worthy to receive my praise and my honor and everything that I have. I give back to You. That's what worship is all about. And we saw in our Colossians passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. That's what really worship is all about. Coming into His presence to say, thank You, please lead me. Thank you for all that you've done for me. We'll talk more about that in a little while. It's hard to be grumpy. It's hard to have a complaining spirit and bitter and selfish when you're singing joyfully to the Lord, although some people try. You have to try pretty hard. But if we're really singing joyfully to the Lord, it's kind of hard to be grumpy because God has done so much for us. When we sing, we lift up our spirits, we focus our attention on God as the one to receive our praise and that He's bigger than us. He can handle our stuff. Do you ever wonder if God can handle your stuff? And if we were really honest, we would all be going like this. Because if we knew for sure God wanted our stuff and could handle our stuff, we would all give our stuff to Him. But we don't so much. We don't so much. I don't know what it is about our constitution as a human being, but we kind of like to handle it ourselves. You know, God, I can handle this one. I think I'm well equipped. I'm going to deal with these issues and these problems and these difficulties. And things don't go so well. And we realize, I'm not doing very well at handling these things. And then we'll say to somebody, you know, things are not going very well. I'm really at the end of my rope. I really need to pray. And we say, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we ought to pray. Instead of saying, well, I got all these things going on. I think I'm going to pray first. That's my first choice. Instead of, I've done everything. I've tried everything. I guess I'm going to have to give it over to the Lord as a last result. We pray and we worship. Worship is coming into God's presence, not only to give Him the blessing, but to remind ourselves who He is and who we are, and that He says, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. I can handle it. I can deal with it. I don't want your heart to be compromised. When we think thankfully, the third thing we need to be aware of is to let our mind dwell on the good. Let our mind dwell on the good. It's easier for some reason to dwell on the bad things, the difficult things, the hard things. It's easy to let our mind dwell upon our past failures, the failures of others, the sin that people have committed against us. It's easy to dwell on the hurt that is in our heart. It's easy to dwell on the brokenness of our lives. One of the wonderful things I was involved with in the seminar over at the 4C's office last week was role-playing. And we were role-playing in a situation where we're trying to bring two people in the congregation who were battling with each other together and to bring peace. And I had to play the part of one of the people on the church board that was trying to bring this. And the conflict was between two ladies in the church. One lady, the new director of the women's ministry, and the other combatant was the former director of the ladies' ministry, who really didn't want anything to change. And one of the pastors that, I think that this person was an actor, this guy who played Bertie, the wounding person, the person who was attacking this younger woman in the church, and he played that role to perfection. And we tried to help Bertie see that her behavior and sowing seeds of discord and evil talking was inappropriate and all of this. And it really came down that she was a broken person. She was a broken person through her childhood and all kinds of things. And trying to get to the bottom of the motivation of her behavior. And her mindset was always in a bad place. And that was one of the problems. Because her mind was always focused on her past and an alcoholic father and those kinds of things. We focus on unproductive things. We let our mind dwell and we run that reel, that movie in our mind of how we've been hurt and how we've been done wrong, and all of these kinds of things, and how unfair it is, and why does this have to happen to me? We need to reprogram our mind to dwell on that which is good. That which is good, to think on the good things. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or fix your mind on these things. So we have to ask ourselves, what am I thinking? What is that going on in my brain box up there? What is this movie that I'm playing up there? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is it virtuous? Is it praiseworthy? And if not, take that thought captive to Christ and get it out of my mind. I'm going to dwell on good things. It is a volitional choice that we make. It's a good thought filter. We have to ask ourselves, what am I thinking about? So in order to be thankful, we need to start thinking in a thankful way. The second thing we need to consider is to speak or talk in a thankful way. We can see this in three areas as well. The first one is to praise others. Talking thankfully begins with what we say to others and speaking to others. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You ever think about your words? You ever think about what you say to others? More importantly, do you think about the words that you say to your own family? We can be pretty nice out in public. We can be pretty nice with our friends. What about to your own family? Your husband, your wife, your children, your mom, your dad? How are your words to them? Do they edify or build them up? Or do they tear them down? Do they impart grace to that person? It's awful. It's a lot harder to speak kind to our own family than it is to others. We need to ask ourselves, what am I saying? What am I saying? Are these words to my husband? Are these words to my wife, these words to my children or my parents? Do they edify? Do they build them up? Are they seasoned with grace to encourage them? Too many times when we fail to think thankfully, our words are not thankful as well in praising others. And it belies that we have an ungrateful heart, an ungrateful spirit. But let me ask you to do an experiment, especially with your family. Sow words of appreciation. Sow words of compliments. Sow words of thankfulness and thank yous to members of your family. And see what kind of harvest you reap. Sow gracious words. When we are in attack mode with our family and always bringing them down, always cutting them down, not being appreciative, thank you, and all those kinds of things, complimenting them, just building them up, we wonder why they're crabby with us. Don't we? Well, if people in your house are crabby with you, think about what words you're saying to them. If you're always getting hit with something, you're going to be crabby. Praise others. Speaking thankfully. Not only praising others, but praising God as well. Let God know how thankful you are for what He's done in your life. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Understand that as a believer in Christ, you've been saved by grace. And we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Just look at this list. That you are justified, meaning declared not guilty. You're sanctified, set apart. You're redeemed. You're bought back from the evil one. You're reconciled to God. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. You're made holy. You're adopted into the family of God. You will be glorified on the last day, and you will receive an inheritance that is reserved for you. And that's just a small list of all the things that God has done. And that's every day we live in this. We live in these things. And so praising God with our words, being thankful for all of these great things that He has given to us. Letter C, sharing our gratitude. Sharing our gratitude. Have you ever been around somebody who says, you know, I'm just, you say, how you doing today? You know, I'm just really thanking the Lord for a beautiful day. You know, I'm just really thankful that God has supplied my needs today. You know, I'm really thankful I got a nice note in the mail. I'm really thankful for my coworkers. You know, that they just really make my life better. How do you feel when you're talking to someone and they have that thankful attitude? Does it make you feel a little uncomfortable? Why? Kind of set you up on that one. Why does that make you uncomfortable? Because I'm not that way. Yeah. And who would it be that is bringing about the discomfort in our soul at that moment? The Holy Spirit? It's a little conviction going on there. That this person has learned to speak thankfully, to count their blessings and understand that all of these good things, I am going to speak thankfully about that. And that helps them to think thankfully as well. We hear it and we're thinking, wow, this person is very thankful and grateful, and it's kind of convicting me because I'm kind of focused on how lousy my day is right now. And that things aren't going right, and it's not the way I want it, and I'm not getting what I want, and I'm kind of crabby right now, and here's this person being very thankful about all of these other things, and I'm a little convicted by that. But when we begin to speak thankfully and we share our gratitude with others, it will help incline their thinking to be a little more thankful as well. So share your gratitude. It's okay if when you share your gratitude that the other person feels a little convicted. That's okay. That's okay. Imagine the conversations that we would have if we were all sharing our gratitude. You know, the Lord brought this into my life and it really hurts, but I'm really thankful because I know God loves me. And even though it hurts right now, He is going to do something with this thing, and it's going to work in my heart and grow my faith, and He's going to lead me to a better place. And I can't wait to get to that place. And I can look back to this event and say, thank You, Lord, because I can see what You did in my life, that this was a good thing. I was doing some premarital counseling once, and the Saturday before the Saturday wedding, the bride, the young lady broke off the wedding. Her father was the chairman of the deacon board, and he called me and he said, Pastor, we need to meet over at this man's house. And he's going to bring his daughter along, and we went, and the church, they're going to be married in the church, and I was all ready for the wedding and all of that, and she broke it off a week before the wedding. She said, I just can't marry you or anyone. And this young man was devastated beyond anything I've ever seen. More devastated than people who have lost a family member. I mean, this big, large man was just weeping and sobbing. It was heartbreaking. And I just spent the rest of the evening with him. Went out, took him, I bought him the biggest steak I could find in the city of Portland and all of that. And I said to him, I said, in 1 year from now, and I have no idea how God is going to do this, but I know God loves you. In 1 year from today, I'm going to call you, or you call me, and you're going to look back on this night, and you will say it was the best night of your life. He said, never. It will never be. Never. And he called me 1 year later. And he was engaged to a remarkable woman. And he said, looking back, that was the best night of my life. And I couldn't see it. And it was remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. We share our gratitude, even when things are bad, because we don't know how God's going to work it out. And the pain that we have in our lives today might very well be the best day of your life. We just can't see it. Third thing, We think thankfully, we speak thankfully, and we act that way too. This is where the Christian life, where the rubber meets the road. We act that way. And it really begins with a heart of service. Serving is a demonstration of appreciation and respect and love. We serve the Lord because God has called us to serve Him. And that is the way we respond to the way Jesus served us, by dying on the cross for us and giving to us salvation. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. When you are thankful for the service that God has given to you, you understand rightly that that's the best thing that you could be doing. The best thing in life is to serve the Lord. Because your service to the Lord, it goes with you for all of eternity. That is the most valuable thing you can do, is to serve the Lord. It's the greatest activity on earth. And sometimes we get a little crabby with the Lord. Why do you make me do this? Why do you make me do this? We don't want to. We've been teaching Sunday school for a long time. We've been serving in the nursery, changing diapers for a long time. We've been baking pies and doing dishes for a long time. We've been preaching for a long time. Whatever it is, sometimes I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And we have that spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. I don't want to do it. Serving is acting thankfully, that I'm thankful to the Lord for what He's done in my life, and I'm going to serve Him as well. The next one is a bit harder, though. Sacrifice. To act thankfully involves not only serving, but it involves sacrifice as well. It requires us to give something of ourselves. To give up something of ourselves. How do you feel when someone starts saying, you need to sacrifice on this? How does that make you feel? Don't want to, do we? We don't want to stand down. We don't want to give up. A couple of good passages for your consideration. Hebrews 13:16. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When you do good and you share, God considers that a sacrifice. Your giving of yourself to someone else. Is that not what Jesus did for us? Is that not what Jesus did for you? He did good. What did He do? He took your sins away. He shared with you. What did He give to you? He gave you His holiness. That the Father would look at you and say, holy, because you're in Christ. He did good, and He shared with us. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That we submit to one another. In this we seek to live like Jesus lived, who sacrificed Himself for our good. And it's hard to step down and give preference to somebody else in order to help them or to honor them. Especially when they're ungrateful for it. When people are ungrateful, when we step down, we sacrifice, we give to them, and they're ungrateful for it, it makes it hard to do it again. Nevertheless, we're still called to do that. That's why words of appreciation to others is so important, because they have sacrificed. It's well-pleasing to God. We respond by saying, thank you. Thank you. So many people say, you know, I feel like I'm just being used and taken advantage of. That's hard. I do all this stuff and I feel used. I feel taken advantage of. What are they saying? They hear no words of appreciation, no gratitude, no thank you. They're just there to be used. If they received those words of thankfulness, they wouldn't feel that way. Finally, sharing. Not only in acting thankfully, we're thinking about serving the Lord, serving one another, sacrificing for one another, but sharing as well. Sharing. We teach our children, this is such a funny thing. We teach our children when they're little, share. Share with your brother. Share with your sister. And we can't figure it out. You know, I remember, you know, as young parents, I could not figure out why, I hate to be talking about you, but it's all kids. When one kid picks up a toy, that happens to belong to the other kid. The other kid believes that if their brother or sister is playing with that toy, it means they can never play with it again. It's lost to them forever. and they grab it back. Mine, mine. I'm like, well, they're just playing with it for 5 minutes, and then you can play with it. No, no, no. If the other sibling has it, that means it's lost forever. I don't know where kids get that. And we tell them, share, share, share. It's a Christian thing to do. And then as we get older, sharing, not so much. I'm going to keep what I've got. I'm going to keep what I've got. People who have a thankful heart and they show appreciation, they're usually very good at sharing with others. Jesus kind of hits us pretty hard with this one. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We know that. When we share, people share with us. And by the way, when you do share, you are acting like God. You're imitating God because He allows us to share in His holiness. Book of Hebrews tells us. The greatest thing you own is your faith, and you share that with others who don't know Him. It is the best thing that you can share. Well, let me conclude by saying this. The best thing about living a thankful life is that it helps us put things into perspective. When we focus on the great things that God has done for us, the annoying junk in life has a way of losing its importance and its power over us. So during this Thanksgiving season, let's seek to make a bit of a change to train our minds to think thankfully. Let us make sure that we're aware of the words that are coming out of our mouth, especially within our own homes, our own household, our own family, that we would talk in a thankful way and demonstrate our appreciation by acting thankfully. Because in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When you are thankful, you are in the very center of the will of God. And that's the best place to be. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank You so much for this time, and we thank You for all that You've done for us. And we pray that in this season of Thanksgiving that You would help us to cultivate a mind of thankfulness, that we would speak thankfully as well. Lord, forgive us for harsh words. Condemning words, biting words, cutting words, the lack of words that would show gratitude and appreciation, that we might give grace to those who hear. Help us to act or to live in a thankful way in service and sacrifice, sharing, that we would be like You. And Thanksgiving would not be just one day that we are the way we ought to be, but that Thanksgiving would be the way that we are every day. We ask for Your help and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.